How do you know God created?
A billboard evangelism phone dialogue. Did you ever wonder what a phone team member encounters when he answers a phone call from a billboard caller? What kind of questions do people ask? What you are about to hear is an actual call conversation between a phone team member and a passerby who saw one of CAM's gospel billboards. Minor editing was done to remove all personal caller information and enhance the flow of the conversation for the listener. Keep in mind that this is only one call and not a complete representation of the team member's interaction with callers. You will probably think of other ways the team member could have responded, and in reality, he probably did too. Often after hanging up with a caller, a team member will think of things he wished he would have said. But we thank God for the faithfulness of the Holy Spirit in giving the right words and scripture verses to our phone team day after day as they minister to many callers. They really need your prayers. And we give all glory to God.
Thank you for calling Gospel Billboards. My name is Kurt. How are you today?
Good. How are you, Kurt?
Well, I'm doing very well, and thank you for asking.
I was driving along the interstate, and I saw, in the beginning, God created.
So
I thought I would dial you up and ask you about that.
Okay. All right. Just a quick question. Are you aware that those are the first three words in the Bible? Or in the beginning
yes,
is
I am.
God created are the next two words, but that's the first five words in the Bible.
Yep.
So the message is intended to just remind those who already know that, to inform those who don't, that everything that we see around us, nature, and the beauty and the glories of nature were created by the omnipotent God who loved us enough to give his son Jesus to die for our sins.
That's right. Well, I know, I was just, I'm curious, I guess my, this might seem like a simple question, but how do you know that God created all of this? Without getting into anything philosophical or spiritual or deeper than just that statement that was made on that billboard. How do you know?
Okay. All right. Well, let's just look at it from a, let's just kind of reason our way through this, okay?
Sure.
So the existence of the universe begs for an explanation. And as far as I'm aware of, there's only three possibilities for the universe's existence. One is that the universe has always been. A second is the universe brought itself into existence. And the third is that the universe was created. Can you think of any other possibilities besides those three?
Nope, I think you've covered just about all of the options there.
Okay, so let's look at them. One of the possibilities is that the universe has always existed. That would tell us then that matter is eternal, that there is no such thing as entropy, and a lot of other things that a lot of other conclusions we could draw from that. Well, it's been scientifically disproven that the universe has always been. Every reputable scientist that I know of has stated or agrees with the statement that the universe is not eternal.
Okay.
So that's how you would look at that first possibility that I mentioned. The
sure.
second possibility that I referenced was the fact that the universe brought itself into existence. I think we're intelligent enough to know that that's philosophically impossible. You don't get something from nothing. The universe could not have brought itself into existence.
Okay.
So the only possibility is that the universe was created.
Okay. I guess my original question is, how do you know God created it?
Okay. Well, the universe would have had to be created by one who preceded the universe. And who but God meets that criteria?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not sure I know of anything that meets that criteria.
Well, the eternal God does. I mean, God is eternal, so he preceded the universe, and I don't know of anything else that preceded the universe.
How do you know that? How do you know that God preceded the universe?
Okay. God is eternal. God has always been.
Right, but how do you know that?
Well, there must be a cause of all causes.
Well, you just said that God has always been.
True.
So that goes against the cause of all causes argument you're trying to. I guess I'm just curious when I see that, because I grew up in the sort of environment where I was told very specific things about what I just should supposedly know, and uh-huh. and as I've grown older and to think about some of these things in an unbiased light, I'm curious mm-hmm. as to what it means to know anything. And so when you say that, well, you know that God is eternal, you know that God preceded the universe, and you know that God is the one who created the universe. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Jesus Christ earlier, so you're talking about a very specific deity. I guess my question is, how do you know all of those specific things?
Okay.
Specifically, how do you know?
So, I have time to talk to you. I don't know if you're pressed on time or not, but I have.
No, I've got a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the evidence for God.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Sure. Let's do that.
All right. Here's how I'd like to do this. I'd like to present evidence. Now,
okay.
You know, understand that I'm not going to prove God's existence. I have no intention of even trying to do that. I'm not going to prove that. Because if I were able to prove the existence of God, then that makes God less than God. I can give you some evidence. If you're interested in really honestly looking at evidence, I can give you evidence for God. And so that's what I'm
saying. How would you distinguish the definitions of evidence and proof then at this point?
Well,
if you're not giving me proofs, but you're giving me something else other than proofs?
Well, just think about a courtroom setting. Just think about a courtroom setting. Now, you know, it's the objective of an individual who's trying to of an attorney who's trying to convince someone of whatever it is. It's his objective to present evidence that will convince that person, judge or jury. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay. Okay. So you won't come to a conclusion. You're just going to give me.
No, I'm going to present evidence. I'm going to present evidence, and you reach the conclusion.
Okay.
How's that?
All right. Sounds good.
Okay. So what I want to start with is the evidence of life. You're alive, and I'm alive, and that's how we're able to carry on this conversation, because we are alive. So I want to present the evidence of life to you in this way. That is this. You and I both know that many scientists today claim the world began when life somehow sprang from non-living matter.
Yes.
Already talked about
yeah.
that a little bit. Yet yep. they are powerless to explain why spontaneous life cannot be produced in their laboratories today. They're simply unable to replicate the creation of life. And that inability to replicate the creation of life proves their inferiority to a higher power that once brought life into existence. Would you agree with that?
Okay. I agree with you until you said higher power. Inferior to knowledge of something greater? Yeah, I can probably agree with that. Inferiority to a higher power, I think, is a leap. I follow your train so far.
Okay. Well, my point is that the scientists who make the claim that life somehow sprang from non-living matter aren't able to replicate the creation of life. We know that life originated at some point, and so by their inability to replicate that, they're inferior to a power that once brought this into existence. That's my point.
Okay.
So, that's the evidence of life. You know, just look at where that evidence points. Here's another one, another piece of evidence. I want to present to you the evidence of creation. And again, this kind of brushes up against the point I made earlier, but let's just go ahead and look at it again anyway. The evidence of creation. Everything that begins to exist has a cause. The universe began to exist.
Except God, right?
God didn't begin to exist.
Right, okay.
Everything that begins to exist has a cause.
Okay.
The universe began to exist. The question is, what caused it? Again, you know, I say it only makes sense. Rational mind would assume that it was caused by one who preceded the universe. And so, again, the question is, who but God meets that criteria? So I'm saying that creation, the evidence of creation, is evidence that points to God. Our universe, planet Earth, powerful evidence pointing to God.
Okay, so life cannot be explained, so it must be God, and everything we see in the universe cannot be explained, so it must be God. Is that kind of how it? I mean, why is God the default?
God is not the default. God is the cause. I mean, you know, if we look at the evidence, well, you know, as I began, you know, we talked about three possibilities for the existence of the universe.
Right. No. Okay. So, if I accepted the premise that the universe cannot have always existed and cannot have come from itself, that it must be created, I'm there with you. But my question now is, how do we know that is the one you call God? I mean, why? God is a very vague and broad term, and I know you're using it very specifically, but even if you use it broadly to define generally higher power, are we arguing for intelligent design alone? Or are we arguing for a very specific deity? Because I know you've already mentioned in this conversation the Bible was one of the first things you mentioned, and you mentioned Jesus. And so why is it that specific deity?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm glad to try to answer that question for you. I am working my way towards a very specific God, and that is the God who created and the God who gave his son Jesus Christ to die for our sins. We can just go there right now and just think about that. Now, Jesus was revealed to humanity when a voice spoke from heaven on more than one occasion and said words similar to this: "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." God spoke from heaven and declared that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, the Bible says, the Word of God says, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is Jesus Christ. So, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came to earth, the most well-documented historical figure that ever existed. Jesus came to earth, and Jesus made this declaration to his disciples near the end of his life. He said, I'm going to be killed, and the third day I'm going to rise again. Well, it happened exactly the way Jesus said. In a very short time, he was killed. His death was verified, affirmed by many different individuals. Many individuals from various backgrounds.
Which historians are we talking about? You said very well documented. I'm just scratching my head. I'm trying to think of sources.
Okay. Well, let's start with the Bible. We have the first person accounts that are given
which
to us.
Which are anonymous.
Which are what?
Which are anonymous.
No, they're not.
They are anonymous. They're
Matthew,
named later.
Matthew and John are not anonymous individuals. They accompanied Jesus. They were his disciples.
The writers of those, the original manuscripts, have no authors to them. They were assigned later by the Catholic Church, but they're the original. And actually, I say original kind of ironically because you don't have the original manuscripts, but the documents, the earliest ones we can find, are absolutely anonymous. We don't know who wrote them.
Okay. So,
I'm just talking about like actual historians, not just anonymous pieces that we find that may or may not be canon to a particular religion.
So when John wrote his gospel, he gives us clear clues that it's John the Apostle that's doing the writing. He refers to himself not by name, but he refers to himself as the disciple that Jesus loved. Other of the gospel accounts described the disciple that Jesus loved as being John. So it's very clear that John is speaking. It's the Apostle John that's speaking as he pens the lines of the gospel. He was one of the first disciples of Jesus, and he accompanied with Jesus all the time that he ministered. This is a first-person account.
So that's an assumption at best.
What is the assumption?
John wrote that document. I mean, it's sort of, you said clues. So, I mean, and you said it, he doesn't mention himself by name. So at best, that is an assumption.
So if he mentioned himself by name, would you accept that then?
Well, I mean, I would accept that it's not anonymous anymore.
Okay. Well, it's not anonymous because he reveals himself in the gospel who he is. The disciple that Jesus loved. There was a special affinity, it seems like, between John and Jesus. And that's revealed to us not only in the Gospel of John, but elsewhere in the Gospels as well. So we have Matthew and John, as I was saying, who were disciples of Jesus. They were first-person accounts. We also have the account recorded by Luke, who was not a Jew. He was a Gentile author that's been proven to be extremely accurate in his details. For example, in the book of the Acts, the details that Luke provides in Acts have been verified.
Such as?
Well, actual places he talks about, events that happened in certain sequence, other historians speak about them. Luke is a extremely reliable historian, And Luke writes about Jesus living, dying, coming again from the grave in resurrected power.
So, after the Gospels, what's the next source, I mean, in the first century that talks about Jesus?
Okay, so we have at least 39 secular authors that write about Jesus. And let me just give you two or three of them. We, of course, have Josephus, the Jewish historian, that writes about Jesus.
I'm talking first century. You just jumped to second century. That's 100 years after Jesus.
We have the Greek the Roman historian, Tacitus.
And he was first century?
We have, you look it up and see. But why does it need to be first century?
Well, because there's gaps. There's gaps
now,
in which you don't hear anything about Jesus at all.
You have the Gospels that were written within 30 years of Jesus' death, 30 to 35 years of Jesus' death.
Right.
So if those Gospels were not true, I mean, there were thousands of people that were alive that could have said they were not true. So, as I was saying, we have Josephus, the Jewish historian. We have Tacitus, the Roman historian. We have Pliny the Younger, a Roman political figure, and others. But there's many historical many authors that write of Jesus as a historical figure.
Oh, I'm going to have to go do some research. I wasn't aware of that, actually.
I would encourage you to do that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate it. This will give me a good start to answering some of these questions.
Would you like to be involved in the Billboard Evangelism program? Here are several ways. We frequently receive calls from individuals who are sincerely seeking or have urgent needs. If you wish to know how to pray specifically for such callers, there are three options with different prayer requests in each option. Number 1, prayer alerts. Listen to an urgent prayer request for a caller on your phone. These alerts are sent out an average of once a week to several thousand prayer supporters. Number 2, prayer needs email. Receive an email every Wednesday containing several prayer requests. Number 3, call our prayer call-in line any time of the day or night. Dial 330-800-9203. At the present time, there is an unlimited opportunity to post gospel messages on billboards. CAM is working with America's largest national billboard companies to receive significant bulk discounts in an effort to canvas American highways with gospel billboards. $1 gives an estimated 800 people the opportunity to see a gospel message. If you would like to help financially, there are three options. Number 1, start a monthly sponsorship of any dollar amount to the Billboard Evangelism Program. Number 2, send a one-time donation to Christian Aid Ministries, earmarked Billboard Evangelism. Number 3, the Adopt a Billboard Sponsorship Program is a personalized way to sponsor a billboard. Call the CAM office and request an Adopt a Billboard Sponsorship sheet to choose which billboard you would like to sponsor. If you would like to stay updated on the Billboard Evangelism Program and learn more about the effect these gospel billboards are having on America, sign up to receive Billboard Evangelism's free quarterly newsletter. To sign up for any of the prayer options and quarterly newsletter, or to make a contribution, please call 330-893-2428 or visit our website at christianaidministries.org.